Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I live with my dad my entire life. And so just me and him growing up, you know, through elementary, middle school, and high school. To add to that, we were extremely poor, at times homeless in Columbus, Ohio. So that kind of shaped me. And I tell that story because it's, you know, it's part of who I am. It's part of my fabric. And it's part of, like, where my drive comes from.
Hey everyone, welcome to
Attentive Fatherhood
on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Bradley Hasemeyer. Each week, I bring you honest and hilarious conversations with men from all types of backgrounds. But at the end of the day, we all just want to be better dads. Question: how does Amazon and you being a better dad connect? Only Josh Thomas, founder of Washed Dads, knows the answer to that. But first, hey, attempters, man, it has been a minute. How are you guys? How's dad life going? I know it's been a while, about 8 months, actually, I think, since I last published. It's been busy. We're getting close to 40 episodes. Can you believe that? Oh, man. Like I said, it's been busy over here. On a professional level, I've been doing a lot more content creation, working with different brands, including Citizen Watch. They're not sponsoring this or anything like that, but wanted to give a shout out because I'm having so much fun getting deeper in the watch world. Are you a watch guy? Is this a thing for you? I find some people are just insanely passionate, like cars, right? I'm a car guy, so I understand the passion toward a thing because of the beauty of it, the intricacy, the history, and I love just kind of getting deeper into that. So I've been a car journalist for 15 years. It makes sense in my mind. I'm still reviewing cars. I'm still posting on TikTok, Hasemeyer, and on Instagram, BHaz, but I really love getting to know the watch space better. So anyway, if you're a watch person, hit me up. Update on kids on this side. Loic, my son, is 3 now. Ellis is 9. We're getting ready for summer. That is, it feels like forever away, but it's really just a couple of weeks, just a few Mondays, and we're into summer. I'll give a full update on the next episode about getting into some of my recent struggles as a dad. Feeling like an imposter, frankly, if I'm just being really honest. Like, how can I have a podcast about being a dad when I don't feel like a great dad? Feeling overwhelmed sometimes about how to care for my kids, especially my 3-year-old. He has some sensory needs. He is also just a 3-year-old who is truly testing my patience, unlike my daughter ever did, especially at that age. So anyway, that's something. But that's for the next episode. That's for the next. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Attempting Fatherhood. Subscribe to the podcast. And if you want, go back and find some of the other episodes. Like I said, we're almost at 40. Lots of great dad advice out. Okay, on to the show. Now, this was, like I said, about 8 months ago. I told you I've been busy. So we're going to be talking a little bit about summer and that kind of stuff. But don't let that deceive you. It all matters. Talking about Josh Thomas. Yes, Josh Thomas. He was my guest. He's awesome. I actually was following him before we were even introduced. He started this cool dad apparel company called Washed Dads, which stands for We Are Superheroes Every Day, which I totally vibe with. Thank you for that, Josh. He started it with a group of his friends who, quote, share the mission of reclaiming the narrative of Black fatherhood and poignantly countering stereotypes that depict absent Black fathers. Love that mission. But he's not one of these like entrepreneur guys you see on Instagram or TikTok who's like, hey, I quit my job and now I'm rolling in cash. He is, however, a big man at Amazon. Yes, this is how this connects. In fact, he's now the highest ranking Black operator among the company's thousands of global specialty fulfillment employees. He's a regional director for 9 of Amazon's faster than same day fulfillment services. You've probably encountered those because, you know, you're like, oh, I need this thing. And it's like, boop, it comes in 2 hours. When we lived in New York, that happened. That was crazy. That happens here sometimes in Atlanta, too. So obviously this guy is very, very busy, but not too busy to chat with us. We had a deep conversation. He's a really cool dad. Been married for 13 years, has an 11-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old son. Now, he grew up with divorced parents and, in fact, lived with his dad, and sometimes that meant homeless on the streets. Yes. In fact, he talked about having to organize and pay bills at age 11 because his dad just couldn't do it. We also talked about raising a daughter and how mostly he was relying on his past as a kid. So he's like, oh, I guess that's how I did it. I guess that's how I'll do it. So there's a funny story about his daughter riding her bike to Target. His wife had something to say about that. All right, enough talking. On to the show. All right. Well, Josh, thank you so much for being here. You're a busy man. Like I said before, for those of us who aren't watching the video, because they should, it'll be on YouTube. But if you're not, I want to set the stage here. Got a beautiful man in front of me. His name is Josh Thomas, Wash Dads. Right behind him, over his shoulder, is a picture of a family. It might not even be his.
That
he's
is
so
my
far
family.
Back. I don't know. It just says family. He's got a globe because he's a man of the world, and he's got some old Encyclopedia Britannicas because he doesn't trust Google. So, Josh, welcome to Attempting Fatherhood.
Hey, thanks for having me. Your intro was awesome. That is actually my family, and that is all. It's there all the time. So I didn't just stage it for you. I know you said that earlier.
Yeah, I thought, or maybe like you know how people have like the Zoom backgrounds. You're just like, oh, let me get to my family. Yeah. One click, and it just green screens in.
Yeah, I'm not. I considered putting myself on an island, but you know, I think the background.
Isn't that fatherhood sometimes?
That is.
Can I just go to an island?
Yeah.
Even if it's fake for a little bit.
Just a quick escape. That is absolutely fatherhood.
Well, I got to start off by saying, you know, I found you. I don't know if it was an Instagram ad or it was like someone else I follow or whatever, but I kind of locked in because I loved the apparel element of what you're doing. And then I was like, oh, cool. You know, it's like when you meet a brand and you learn the about and you're like, oh, there's some substance to the product. It's not just like, oh, there's a market for this, so we're going to make it. It kind of came out of you. And we'll get into that in a little bit, the whole Wash Dads thing and all that. But I want to find out, like, I like to kind of start things off with dad stats. How many kids, married, not married, how long, like kind of all that. So we kind of get an idea for our listeners how they're going to connect with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a dad. I've married for 13 years now. Met my wife Woo. In college, and so graduated, and then start having babies. So I have a 11-year-old daughter who is like super pumped that she's wrapping up her fifth grade year and like going into middle school. So like she gets to pick her own classes is like the most adult thing you can ever do. And then I have a.
She's excited about middle school. Does she know what middle school means?
I don't think so, man. I think she's way more excited than I was. That's for sure.
No doubt.
Yeah. And then my son, he's 9 years old, and you know he's into like anything that's dangerous on a bike, and now just picking up rollerblades. So we were out in the driveway yesterday trying to figure out how to rollerblade, and I'm like, man, this kid is dangerous. So I don't know if I should.
Oh my God. Kind
of, you know, that's also part of fatherhood. Like I bought these rollerblades thinking that it was a really good idea until I saw him on the rollerblades yesterday. And I was like, dang, this is going to be bad. So
you're like, I brought this on myself. When you're in the ER getting stitches, you're like, you know what? That's on me.
I totally saw that. I saw it coming. So.
Oh, 9 and 11. Wow.
Yep. 9 and 11.
That's fantastic. I have a 9-year-old who actually just came through.
Yeah.
She's finishing up. She finished up third grade. Fourth grade's on the horizon. We have a son whom we adopted. He's 2. He is 2 going on 16 because he's in that like whatever is like potentially dangerous. He is going for it, man. Is that a giant sharp knife? Let me blindly reach up on the counter and try to pull that down.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, that was on his to-do list today. Can I stick my hand on the oven? You said it's hot, right? Well, let me just see how hot. So that's kind of where we're living these days over here.
Maybe it'll cool off though. Like my son, because we were thinking back in the day, like when he was 2, and it was like, he was so cautious. He was like scared of everything. He wouldn't do it. I'm like, dude, it's here. Grab it. It's not hot. It's not. And
it's fine. It's
and
he fine.
Flipped yeah. the switch, and now he's like riding his bike downstairs. And like, I'm like, what are you doing, man?
Maybe make sure the helmet is tight. And, yeah. Right.
Yep.
Well, that's something that I've talked about a lot with my dads too. Is like this measure of. I interviewed a guy who's a stunt driver. That's his job, to drive cars in a crazy and yet safe manner. And I was like, you know, how do you approach like that line between I want to protect my kid and also like I want them to risk. I want them to learn to like go down the stairs. Like, okay, you're going to go down the stairs. Let me just make sure the helmet's tight and there's not, you know, broken glass at the bottom. And let's just see what happens.
Yeah. Right?
It's hard though.
It is. And I don't think there's a lot about fatherhood that's like you can't just read it in a book, right? You kind of like trial and error and like, ooh, I guess guess we won't do that.
I would
again.
Argue all of fatherhood. Yeah, I mean, I think there are like maybe parenting philosophies that you can pick up, you know, and like I was just on a weekend with like some of my best guy friends from college. They all have kids a few years older than mine. And we sit and talk about like my kid's going through this and like my kid is on screens all the time. My kid is getting bullied at school. And we can talk about that and kind of come up with like, well, I've read this and I've heard this and that's great. But like you said, at the end of the day, it's your unique situation based on your uniqueness, your kid's uniqueness, where you are in your life, the surround is too many variables. Yeah, you can't write a book about it.
You can't. You can collect some experiences and you can talk about
it. That's good.
And that's kind of how like Wash Dad started. We were all just like talking. We're like, man, what's your son? You know, oh, this is happening. And it's like, oh, I would have did this. My kid did this 10 years ago. It was like, oh. I'm gonna try that, right? And it was kind of like this little group of stories, and we're like, oh, we should do this. And like, you know, our slogan and how we started. I'll get to that. Is we're all like sitting in the lounge, right? And it's I was living away for about 6 to 8 months. So my family was in Kansas, and I worked for Amazon, so I took a job in New Jersey. And that's where my wife's cousins were. I would hang out with them. Naturally, I already knew them. These are the only like three people I knew in New Jersey. And so on the weekends, I would fly back home every other weekend. Well, one Friday we were sitting in this lounge and, you know, we had our drinks and listening to music and stuff. And it was six of us. And we're all, hey, what are you doing this weekend? It's like, oh. You know, I got a recital to go to. And it's like, Josh, what you doing this weekend? I'm flying back home. You know, kids got games. And like, we went around the room and every single one of us had something to do with kids. It was like, I got to go to this thing and there, or drive them here. One of them had a 3-year-old birthday party. And it's like, we are washed. And it was like, and then so when we said that, we all laughed about it. And then we had another like hour long conversation about like, that is actually really cool. Cause we were happy to do those things. And so it's not washed up. And so the washed is we are superheroes every day. It's an acronym that, you know, it's like, hey, let's celebrate this stuff. Let's make it cool. Let's make some cool apparel. Right. But I think the bigger part of it is like the stories behind it. And just how you were saying, like our DMs were like, hey, what would you do in this situation? Or I had this come up, my kid's getting bullied in school. And just curious if you guys have ever, and it's like spawning on this whole community. So it's really cool, man. It was kind of created out of let's just do something, and it's grown quite a bit.
I love that, man. I totally applaud that. The impetus for this podcast really came out of recognizing that my wife has all these chats with her friends. She's got text chains with her friends. They talk about parenting stuff. But I was kind of siloed as a dad in my own experience. And some of that is just because like, I generally don't ask for help. Some of it's also like, I'm just someone who's like, we'll figure it out when we get there. But I've found so much value from reconnecting with men about their experiences. And over again, I hear it from people like yourself, the value of even just like two or three guys. Like, it's not like you have to go to a conference. It's just like a couple people going through something similar. And it's almost not so much that I'm looking for an answer as much as I'm looking for someone to say, I don't know either. You know, it's like, I just want to know that I'm not an idiot.
That is not the case.
Thankfully.
How much of that is like totally a dad/guy thing? It's like, oh, I don't need any help. I don't need to talk to anybody. I got this. I'm going to figure it
totally.
Out. Cross that bridge when we get there. Similar experience. Yeah, it was, I remember the nights like, with your second kid, it's like, oh yeah, let him cry. Like Tate, my son Tate, he got the, let him, oh, he fell. He'll get back up. My daughter though, the oldest, she's crying. Oh, I hear something. Let's go run in there.
We gotta go.
And so yeah, you learn those things, but it's funny. I remember, and we were talking, this is one of those discussions that we've had just sitting around the room, is like when that first kid was born and your wife is up, or you know, and your kid is crying, and like especially if she's nursing, like there's literally nothing you can do. But you can't go to sleep. And like, oh, you got this? All right, cool. I'm going to go ahead and lay down then.
Right.
Get my Z's. It's like, you just got to sit up. I'm like, all right, well, we'll wait for you to get done and then we'll go back to sleep together. But
because I want to be supportive.
What do you need me to do? What do I do with my hands? And like having those discussions like, hey, man, we're all in this. Like we've all had, you know, very similar experiences. So yeah, and it's comforting to know that you're not alone in that. So yeah, that's, I love what you're doing here with the attempting fatherhood. I think the attempting piece is like amazing. Like that's all it is. That is it. Attempting fatherhood. Like,
we're just people trying our best. That's it. You know, I think ultimately kids are super resilient, and if, you know, you bring your best to the table, and they kind of, they fill in the blanks a lot of times in ways that you wouldn't expect, which is really cool.
100%.
Now, are you someone who came from a family of like, my dad was amazing, I want to be an amazing dad, or was it kind of like, you know, just regular family or divorce, or how does that, how does your past in terms of your relationship with your dad play into you as a father?
Yeah. So I had a very interesting upbringing. It wasn't interesting when I was growing up. I tell my wife, she's like, oh, that's crazy. it was just life for me.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, my parents were divorced when I was young. I was probably 3 or 4. I got a younger brother and a younger sister. My sister lived with my mom and my brother lived with my mom most of the time, and it kind of bounced back and forth. I lived with my dad my entire life. And so just me and him growing up, you know, through elementary, middle school, and high school, to add to that, we were extremely poor, at times homeless in Columbus, Ohio. So that kind of shaped me. And I tell that story because it's, you know, it's part of who I am. It's part of my fabric. And it's part 100%. Of like where my drive comes from. Like I remember, you know, being in a homeless shelter, and I was like, dang, this is not what I want to do. But one of the things that my dad is like, so he's a fantastic father. Like he was awesome. He worked like 16 hours a day. So being present wasn't necessarily an option for us.
Not possible. Yeah.
But he did like overshower me with love. Right. And my dad was like super emotional dude. Like he, you know, like he let me off to school. He's like kissing me on my cheek. I'm like, dude, man, like, I'm like 13, man. Like, we're good there. But just, you know, just overshadowing with love. And I think, you know, that's part of like his attempt at fatherhood, right? Was just like, I'm going to pour all of what I have into this kid. And I think he did a phenomenal job. So education was always like, I remember I had to go to summer school when I got a B. I got a B in biology, and he made me go to summer school. I was like, are you serious? Yeah, he saw that as my path to success. I think he was great with learning what you don't do. So he didn't have the right answers. He didn't know what to do, but what he always told me was like, hey, I don't know the right answer, but I know I went down this road, and that road leads to a dead end. Well, he went down a lot of dead ends, so I had a lot of what not to do's. I kind of just took the road that wasn't traveled, but, you know, it didn't lead to dead end. So I was very grateful for that guidance there.
Are you kind of how we were talking before about your son who didn't want to risk anything, maybe just listen to everything? Were you someone who was like, oh, don't go down that road? Okay, fine, I won't. Or were you like, yeah, but that was you, Dad, I think maybe I'll go try it anyway? Or were you pretty much like, nope,
nah,
smart, I'm moving on?
Yeah, I never went down the road. He was like, Josh, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm like, all right, won't do it.
And that's great,
we talk
that
about
saves
that.
You so it, much
saved,
heartache.
Oh my gosh, it saves you so much. And I could have, like my senior year, I practically like lived by myself. My dad took a job in Cincinnati. And we kind of transferred back and forth. And I just remember all my friends like, dude, you got a whole house. Like we could party. I'm like, nah, my dad said, I'm not going to throw a party. So they're like, oh, but you know, I think, What would have happened if I wouldn't have listened, right? Like, would I even, I mean, who knows, right? You don't know where that story is.
Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, something that my dad has taught a lot about me is like this desire. I think it's in me, but he named it like this desire as a parent to see your kids like fling past you, right? Like you've gone like as far as you can, and you want to grab your kids and be like, I'm giving you everything I learned in my X number of years, empowering you to come up to speed with me, and then pushing you forward in a non-jealous, non-resentful, like go you kind of way.
Yep. And to add to it is, and my dad said the same thing, is, hey, your life, the goal of a father and parents in general, right, is to create a better life than for your kids than you have for yourself. And to add on to that is what are you doing? Like, what are you actively doing to make that happen? Like, how are you being intentional? Like, is it just showing up and like, hey, I'm going to love you? Or are you like, man, I wish I would have had this. So therefore, when the kid is, you know, 5 years old, I'm going to do, I'm going to start a 529K plan. That's something that my dad was like, man, I wish I had money to send you to school, man. Like, I had good grades. So he found it, you know, I went to school on a full ride scholarship because of his like, no, Josh, you need to have straight A's, man. Like, I'm like, all right. But you know, how am I being intentional? Like, I want to be able to send my kids to college, and create a better life. And so, you know, those are the type of things, like, what are you going to do specific to make them have a better life?
One of the major things he gave you, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but it feels like, at least according to the way I grew up, for a dad to be that emotional and that element of the two spheres, you know, like, let's say mom is emotional, dad is pragmatic. Now mom is not there. It's just you guys. And for him to err on the side of emotional would have been kind of unique to have a dad like that, right?
Super unique. It's super unique. And it's like, it's one of those things that I am like, I love that about it. Right. And so I do that. I'm like, hey, tell them I love them, give them a hug before they just walked out the door from school. I think that's, you know, something where we, like I told, I don't know if it's a socioeconomic thing, if it's a, you know, or a, you know, a thing of the 80s, it's a hardcore dads or hoorah. He was also a Marine. So he is from that. Like, I grew up, dude, I had to make my bed a certain way. I still roll my clothes in my like,
hospital corners, yeah, I mean, tight exactly. on the edge.
And I still do all of that today. And so there's things that are ingrained. It wasn't until I got to college where I'm like, this dude is just like,
you guys don't do that?
Yeah, they're just throwing their clothes in the drawer. I'm like, seriously? But anyway,
that's so funny.
Yeah, it's those. It's absolutely like the foundation that he laid. But yeah, to get to that point, like, I don't know if it was a, you know, just the environment that we were in, but most of the dads were like very hardcore. To like, they're not showing that emotion. Their kid falls like, get up, you're tough, and so like, I think we lose. I was super appreciative of the fact that like, yeah, there is, and I didn't know it was different until I got around other dads. And I'm like, man, your kid needs to hear that it's okay right now. They just did something. They need you to show them some love right now.
Yep.
That's important. And it was like, oh no, they'll be all right. They know I love them. I'm like, yeah,
but do they?
Do they? But you should tell them though. Like that.
Yeah.
He's like 5. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he knows that his dad cares, but like, it'd be great to, you know, say I'm proud of you. Like, it'll go a long way, man. So yeah, I don't know what it is about. What about, you know, us guys, or maybe that error, or I don't know what it was.
I think you're right. I think it's a mix of both. I mean, a lot of the things, and I'll get to this question in just a sec, but you know, I ask my dads a lot of times, like, what is something? So that's something you're implementing in your parenting, the emotional element, the loving element, the educational element, you know, and what is something that they did that you would have liked to be different, or something that they did that you're like, that doesn't work for our family. And a lot of guys point to there's cultural differences, it was a different time, whatever. And there's lots of different answers. And there none of it's judgment. It's just like assessing a thing, right? It's like, well, next time we're going to do it this way. And so, you know, for me, you know, I think my dad has grown so much in his like kind of EQ and his self-awareness and that type of thing. He was just busy. He showed up at everything and every event that I ever had. And that was his love language for that. But there wasn't a whole lot of like, let's sit down and talk about what that meant to you, or what that was, you know. So that's something that I'm implementing, that I found value later on in life through other mentors and therapy and stuff that we're implementing. And so I always like to ask my dads, like yourself, like, what is something that you're like, okay, this was absent, and so I'm consciously adding it in?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's funny that when you were saying that, because I remember having a ton of conversations to the point I'm like, Dad, we don't need to talk about this, man. Like, seriously, right,
it's a donut, not a teaching moment. Can we just move on?
I don't need to hear about this. And I'm grateful for that now. But I think the things that I would change is, or what I'm leaving out of my fatherhood strategy intentionally. Like, my dad actually never came to any of my games. I played football like since seventh grade. He showed up to one game. I had a game of my life. I had like 3 interceptions, a touchdown. It was like crazy. I was like, I wonder, I don't think, because I wasn't going into it like, all right, my dad's here, he's in the crowd.
Yeah, I'm going to show up.
No, I was just playing a regular game, and I'm like, huh. That was interesting. But I think that I am being present, and I, you know, I don't think it's a knock at my dad, because he couldn't. Like, if he was present, then he wasn't working his other job. Yeah. You know, then we're, you know, back to
looking
back at homelessness.
Yeah.
Right? And so,
yeah.
But I think we got into that situation because of just poor decisions. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm going to go buy, you know, this really nice entertainment center. I was like, well, you know, it's from Rent-A-Center and it comes with 25% interest and you're going to pay for it four times. And like, all right, well, I'm going to go get a couch too. And it's like, some of the decisions I learned at an early age, like just money management. And my dad he has a very high EQ, in my opinion. And he would, some of the talks that we had, like, man, I don't know what I'm doing with money. He's like, look, he used to give me his check and I was like 11 and I would pay all the bills, like legit, get everything, stack them up. I get the check, write all the bills, write all the checks out. And then send them off. And then
at 11, that's your daughter now.
That is like,
could you imagine that?
That's what
isn't that crazy?
Man, we talk about that all the time. I remember we lived, what was it? It was some projects in Columbus. And I think the rent might have been $30 a month, like super cheap. But we still didn't have that. And I remember I got a job selling candy. And he'll tell the story all the time. Like, do you remember when you sold candy to pay? Oh, that's what it was. He had a surgery, so he couldn't work. And then I got a job and I sold candy like door to door. And I ended up being a really good salesman. Like, I was like, man, I think I'm going to go into sales. This is what I'm going to do for a living.
I could see that.
And I paid the rent and all the bills. He was like, that was so crazy. And I think I might've been too young. I think he had to be 16. Maybe I was 13 or. No, it was younger than that because I was in Columbus. Yeah, it was just a very young age. And I was doing some things that, you know, are way before my years. That part is what I'm leaving out. I learned from it. I think it was cool for me. I'm not going to push that on my kids. Hopefully.
You know, money is so hard. As a dad, like, you know, we have such an element of pride of like being able to provide. I want to give you the best. I want to give you the nicest. I want to give you the most. Like, there's that in us, I think. And I don't know if that's American culture or if that's just like caveman culture. Like, I'm going to bring you four dead bears, you know, instead of three because I want to be, you know, ultimate king. But I just wrestle with that too, because money can be such a heavy burden on a family. And it can be, you know, I think, you know, I wrestle with it myself. I'm a freelance guy, right? So it's like, I don't necessarily know what I'm making each month. Yeah. I have a pretty good idea, like kind of a range, but it could vary by 50%. Yeah. So it's like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we were planning to go on a vacation. We can't, but do we go credit card? Do we not? Like, that's embarrassing. Hey, credit card, dad, you're in your 40s. Like, come on, man. So there's like all these elements that I wrestle with, and money is so hard. And I really appreciate your dad taking the humility of saying, you know what? I suck at this. And I need your help, my 11-year-old child.
Yep.
Like, that to me is like, wow, hat tip. Because he could have just kept it inside and run you guys into the ground and be homeless again. And so that's big dad props there for just manning up and saying, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah. And in having that conversation, it made me like, I just knew not to ask. Right. Like, I'm not going to, my friends are doing stuff. They're like, oh, I got this new bike. I know because my dad had this conversation with me. I know the situation that we're in. If I went and asked for a brand new bike, it would crush him. But he would try to get it, but he's going to give.
Exactly.
He's like, all right, well, I won't pay the electric bill and I'm going to get that. I'm going to get my son that bike. And it's like, because he had that conversation, I just knew like, all right, hey, this is okay. This is the situation that we're in.
Yeah.
I know he's trying like crazy. So I'm just not going to ask.
Now, how do you and your wife kind of co-parent? Like, is your day-to-day wash dads and you guys are, you know, you're like, sometimes you're in, sometimes you're out. You're not the 9-to-5, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, I'm a director at Amazon. So,
Right. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's how we got connected.
I have a ton of meetings all day. So my day-to-day is jam-packed, you know, just running the business. Wash Dads, I run with five other guys who are my cousins, brother-in-law, childhood friends. And so we meet, you know, twice a week, three times a week, depending on what's happening and what designs we got to get and things like that. From a co-parenting perspective, so if you imagine, I have the 9-to-5. My wife's also a teacher, so she has, you know, she has her 9-to-5 too. And man,
extra props for her for being a teacher during all of this stuff. Dude, man, we ask way too much of teachers and pay them way too little. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I was just having a conversation. Yeah. My friend's wife is a teacher too, and I'm just like, bro, I'm sorry.
it's through this pandemic, it's like, oh, and we moved to Maryland 2 years ago and she picked up kindergarten. Like, these are kids who have never been to school, and now I have to log in virtually into some app and learn how to be kindergarten. I was like, man, this is insane. So you definitely have to be, you got to be wired differently. And I think that's part of our co-parenting thing. Like, she's wired that way and I'm not. So like a 3-year-old's birthday party is just, it's just not my thing, man. But she's like, she'll stop and do all it, get the balloons.
Oh,
and like,
man.
She does it up. So, I think there is a difference. There's a lot of things that I've learned, you know, she taught me, like not growing up, you know, with a mom, right? In the house,
right,
anyways.
Right. Yeah.
And so there are things that I'm overlooking from, I just don't have those experiences, especially having a daughter. And she's like, Josh, this.
Yeah.
So the common phrase, like, Josh, this isn't normal. I'm like, oh, all right, well, I'll yield to you then. You know, like, uh-huh. I lived, uh-huh. I would drive in the 9th grade, and I remember driving to 8th grade and getting in trouble because I parked my car. I'm like, where am I supposed to park my car? Like, Josh, you're in 8th grade. There's no student lot here. I'm like, oh.
There's no parking.
Yeah, there's no parking. Like, I'm telling on myself. Hopefully I don't get in trouble. It's just a difference in autonomy that I think that, you know, my daughter got in trouble for riding her bike to Target. Her cousins came up and my wife was just heated. I'm like, you rode all the way to Target? It's like a 7-minute bike ride. And I was like, well, what's the big, she had to cross this major road. She had to do this. And I was like, man, I remember going to a different city when I was like,
yeah. And she's like, but yes, Josh, like, your life was not normal.
Not normal. I'm like, and so there, that's where we get into, I'm like, but I still think that was okay. You know, I yield to like, all right, you want to be mad about it? I'm supporting you. I learned Amazon has a disagree and commit leadership principle. So I've been working on that one for about 5 years, but it's amazing leadership principle. I disagree with you.
Yeah, explain that because I think that sounds like that would heal a lot of families.
This is so great in dad life. Yes, it's so great in dad life. It's what I use that in a personal perspective is neither one of us has to win this argument or this conversation. Like, I don't have to be a winner and say, no, she doesn't get into it. And that's going to be for 90% of the things that you disagree with. Generally, you don't have to win. You just want to be heard. Disagree and commit is, you know, I might make a decision and I go back to work. I might say, we're going to do this. This is the direction that Amazon is going. And my team, I want to hear them tell me what they're not okay with. I'd rather them not say anything. And we'll have that conversation. I might change my mind. I'm like, oh, that's a very good point. Ken, what about if we did this and I spin it around and it's like, all right, cool. We all align and go. But if I'm still, hey, this is the direction we have to do this. I'm hearing you. But you got to commit. And so like, and this going back to the personal side, like with that, I disagree with it. I don't think she should have got in trouble for it. She got in trouble with it. She got her bike taken and her phone taken and for like a week. But I committed to it. I'm online. My daughter doesn't know, unless she watches this podcast, that I disagree with putting her on punishment. But to her, she was like, man, my mom and my dad are mad at me. It was a commit.
But I would imagine from a business perspective, that's great for the team. And it is good for your team, i.e. co-parenting husband, wife. But in the parenting section, it's also so powerful for the kid to see the unified front, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like the mom and dad are on the same team here. Even if behind closed doors, it's like, I'm not totally on the same team here.
Yeah. They got to see that, right?
Yeah.
I'm unraveling. What if I did? I was like, hey, look, I think your mom's crazy. You shouldn't be on punishment. Like, that's just, that's a seed that she's going to plant. And then she's going to be like a rebellious 16-year-old running to dad to do everything that's bad. and mom.
And she's also saying like, this is a man disrespecting my mom.
Yeah, I'm totally
like, this
taking
is someone
her power.
Who's not.
Yep,
taking the power. And then she just sees that as, okay, I guess that's it. You know, one another thing that people told me, which is very true. I have enjoyed fatherhood. So that was true too. But, you know, people say, oh, when you have a kid, everything changes. And the bucket of everything changes is going to be different for everyone, right? Yeah. Like for me, a big change right at the beginning when Ellis was born, my schedule. I love my calendar. I love my schedule. And I joke that like she came out of the womb and just like deleted the calendar app. Like her hand coming out of the womb was just like bloop and deleted. And it threw everything into this chaos. Another thing that really changed was viewing the world. Sorry, my camera moved there. Viewing the world through the lens of a female. All of a sudden, things that I didn't care about that much because they weren't in my sphere of influence became real hot button issues. And like that simple thing there of like, I don't want to unconsciously plant in your head that it's okay for a general male to undermine a general female and for you to be okay with that in this setting, you know?
Yep.
And so those types of things I'm so much more aware of that my unconscious bias, right, which oftentimes is attributed to race, is really also gender differences, right? There's a lot of unconscious bias as a guy. I'll go running at 9 o'clock at night. I would not let my wife go running at 9 o'clock at night. Yep. You know, it's like, that's just an unconscious bias. I don't even think twice about it. I'm not thinking like, where do I put my pepper spray?
Yeah.
That's not even, it's I don't have a holster for that.
Yep.
Right?
100% agree. And
And so, you know, having a daughter really brought in a different way to look at things.
Yeah. Having a daughter, having kids, I think you talked about the calendar and I'll share, as you were saying, it reminded me, it was like the best piece of advice. And this is going to the relationship.
Oh, these are good. I love these.
Best piece of advice that I would tell anybody who will listen. My wife's great uncle. I just popped a question. We were engaged. I'm at a family reunion and he took to me, real old dude. He took to me because my undergrad is in electrical engineering. And he was like one of the first black engineers in Alabama or something like that. And so he was like, oh, engineer. Wow. So he always like, when I go to family reunions, hey, come on over here. And we just talk. Like, I love getting wisdom from folks. Cool. One of the things he told me though was he said, and so he's a very graph oriented kind of guy, facts and data, uses the numbers, typical engineer. Yep.
One and plus one is two, one, binary. Yeah.
Total binary. There's no gray. He pulls out, you know, a chart and it's a divorce rate chart. Right. And it's the time on the X axis and it's just the quantity. So after 1 year, it's a huge spike of divorces, right? A lot of divorces don't make, or a lot of marriages don't make it the first year. He's like, this spike, they just didn't know each other. Like they shouldn't have got married in the first place. All right. Mm. So we'll chalk that one up. There was another spike at about 5 years in. He said, this is when people start having kids. Kids will do it. Like they change your schedules. They create arguments for things that like we were super happy in jail. We never argued. And then the kid is like, hey, I don't want to wake up. I got to work in the morning. You got to wake up and feed the kid and do all the stuff. And I'm going to keep on working. Well, she's not happy with that. That's a bias. It's like, what do you want me to do? Right. And so that's that can create an argument that can go into this big. And so there was so that was the next 5 year or that was a 5 year spike. And then, you know, it was a bunch of little small noise. And then there was another big spike. And that spike was after like 21 years. Like, why would you get divorced after 20 something years?
Kids leave.
Kids are moving out. And your whole life was about for 18 years, the first 18 to 20 years of your whole marriage was about kids and surrounded around kids. And every conversation we have is, oh, we're going to go to the game and do this and everything. How was your day? Well, the kids, and like my day was about the kids.
Uh-huh.
And so when the kids leave, you have nothing to talk about. You lost.
Oh man.
You lost that friendship. And I was like, man, that was a gem. And I was like, so what? And he was like, he's been married for like, 50 years. And he was like, there was one time where we almost got divorced and that was when the kids left. And it was like,
wow.
So what? You don't lose the friendship through those 20 years because the kids are going to leave and they're going to have their own kids. And now you're stuck here. Right. And so you like, take your wife, do something once a year, disconnect from the kids and don't even talk to them. Forget them kids. I was like, all right. So part of fatherhood,
forget them kids. Yeah, I love
part
that.
Part of fatherhood is forgetting them kids. Just for a small
I
time.
I like that.
You got to do that.
That's got to be one of the chapters in the book that you write eventually about dads that says, this is not the book about fatherhood. It's a book about my fatherhood experience.
Absolutely.
Right?
Like, I love it.
Because dads know that's not a thing. Man, I love what you're saying there. This weekend when I was hanging out with my guys, one of them was saying that he had read a statistic about how there were two major like takeaways from this weekend. One of them was a lot of marriages work when there's an independent and a dependent person. If you have two dependents, doesn't work very well. Yeah. If you have two independents, it can be tough. And so we kind of went around like assessing like, yeah, I think like I'm the dependent, my wife's independent or whatever. And then the thought of that was if you're two independent people, you're running the business of family, mm-hmm. right? And you're going. And then at 21 mark, the business has been sold or it collapses. It files for bankruptcy, whatever. And now you're looking around, you're like, what's my next job? My job was, you know, running this family and getting it down the street. And so to your point, it was like, if you're two independent people, you have to be even more conscious about finding the dependencies on each other, whether that's communication or whether that's like, I actually do need you to say, I love you every day.
Yeah.
I didn't think I needed that because I'm independent and I'm strong and I'm bold, but I do think that needs to be a part. And acknowledging that early on, and it's not a hindrance. It's just like you need to know this is a thing. So that was one of the big takeaways from the weekend. It really echoes what you just said.
That's a really cool way to look at that. two independent people as a family, and then I think those are as parents. Right? I mean, I'm independent in this space. You can do that. You got to pick and choose what you want to be independent versus dependent on. I think I'm both in a relationship, right? As parents. Then you all have to know, like, what are you dependent on each other for? Like, that's important. Because if you don't have that conversation, that's how you get into the business is sold. And I'm not dependent on you for anything, really. So what are we doing here? Like, what are
I'm
we doing
go
here?
Retire. I'm leaving I'm retired. The business. I'm going to go to Boca.
Exactly. I'm retired from this marriage here because I'm no longer dependent. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's hard. Well, tell me a little bit about how your life at Amazon correlates to being a father. Like, it sounds like there's a lot of logistics. It's a lot of, let me hear your opinion. You know, I feel like our work as fathers, if we are really involved with our families, it's really hard to make that distinct, like, cut. And then work is done, and I'm just family. And then family's done, and I'm just work. There's always going to be interplay. And oftentimes that's like personality, emotional. It's not always like I'm checking my phone with my kids, but like, how does running stuff at Amazon connect to, you know, being a dad at home for you?
I think it's so much overlap. It probably drives my wife crazy. She's like, this is not work. And I'm like, all right, let me change that. Yeah.
Hey kids, we're going to get on a Teams meeting. Right. Okay. Everybody get on Google Hangout.
Yeah.
We need to talk about lunch tomorrow.
Yeah. Like I talked about one of the leadership principles. There's 14 of them, and they're like ingrained in my head because, you know, or now there's 16 of them. the original 14, like, you have to continue to, like, when I'm doing performance evaluations or when, you know, you're just talking in a meeting and you hear something, you say, hey, that's not insisting on the highest standards there, right? Let's raise the bar a little bit. That's one of them. Well. Mm. If I'm in here and my daughter's, you know, she was just baking cookies last night. I'm like, all right, cool. And she was like, oh, this could work. I'm like, that's not really insisting on a high standard.
Gordon Ramsay her? This is absolutely disgusting. Get to your room before you bring that back here again.
I didn't even taste it. I just looked at it like, piece of feedback for me is because I never grew up with, and you talked about like the emotional side. Well, my dad didn't do that part of it. He was emotional, like, hey, I want you to know I love you. But it was very much like, hey, man, that's terrible. That the Marine side came out on that. Like, Josh, this is trash, man. What are you doing here? Like,
this will get you killed out there. I'm not going to say it nicely.
Exactly.
You will die.
And so, like, a lot of that part, and my wife would be like, Josh, that was what we call a sharp elbow. She was like, that was too sharp. And I was like, oh.
A little jabby.
All right, my bad. So I had to undo some stuff. I remember, like, I can't remember what I said, but I remember I'll never it's something I said, and my daughter was probably 3 years old, and I was like, gave her one of those, like, eh. And she went away and cried. I'm like, oh, that just broke my heart, man. It was like, oh. I was like, how do I undo this? Like, it's so...
You're just flashing to, like, all right, so that's the first thing she'll talk about in therapy. Yeah, I wonder what else I'll absolutely. Be giving her.
Like, I was like, man, I am a bad dad. Like, my little man. Three-year-old.
How did you deal with that? Are you someone who spirals in that moment? Like, oh, man, I'm terrible. This is bad. Or are you someone just, like, who can kind of be like, I made a mistake. I need to try to clean it up.
I went and told her sorry.
And it doesn't ruin your day.
Yeah, I went told her sorry, picked her up, kissed her. Like, I'm sorry, baby girl. Like, this is... I didn't even know that was going to hurt your feelings. And, you know, she was like, okay. And I think that goes back to the, again, my dad would do that with me, right? He would like, look, man, he'd get on his military. Like, I would have friends over. He's yelling at the top of his lungs, like, go to one extreme. He's like super Marine, like boot camp dude, right? And he would come back the next day like, hey, I'm my bad on that. I was a little out of line there, and sorry for that. Like, all right, cool. So, like, that piece of humility, I have to do it. I got to tell my daughter, like, hey, I'm sorry. I ain't going to hurt your feelings. So
I think the power of apology is one of the greatest gifts we can give our kids. That was something one of the dads was talking about, because what that does is, A, it lowers the bar for perfection, and you take out the anxiety of, like, I got to be perfect like my dad is perfect or my mom is perfect. Hopefully it does, or at least it eases it that. Eases it creates it, an opportunity for it. And then it also teaches them to say, I'm sorry, right? So that they don't have to be the one in school that's like, I mean, how much easier is it to work on a team with someone who, you know, I kind of joke about this, but like I played like church league basketball, mm-hmm. right? It was crap. But like, I got good at being like, that's on me. Like, foul on 22.
Put your hand up.
You know, I played football too. Yep. You know, offsides, number 22, and like the whole stadium knows it's you, right? There's no hiding. It's that guy made a mistake, yeah. You know.
Just own it.
And there's you own it, and you own the mistake, and it makes saying sorry, it lowers the bar for yourself for that. It's not that big of a deal, and it's important to say sorry and to say, you know what, I am not a perfect parent,
yeah.
And I'm going to love you as much as I can, and I made a mistake there, and I'm asking you for forgiveness. Wow, what a power thing. Like,
yeah.
Now the child knows they're involved in this. They're not just, you know, someone in the back of the plane going for the trip.
Yep. Yep. 100% agree. And I think this, you know, you heard the saying, like, the customer's always right. Like,
yeah.
And there's also like the parent. Why? This is another big thing we do. Well,
yeah,
why?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I said so. Like, I would never, like, I'm not going to say that. Parents not always right.
Yep. Yeah.
But if I do say something and you're interested on the why, I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to say because I said so. I think that's because then you'd like, okay, well, I'm just going to do it. But I think understanding the why behind it, like, that's so huge. And it's annoying if I had to give it to new parents, annoying. Right? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Here we go.
Why? Especially for, you got one that's two and at 2 years old to about five.
2 and 9. Yeah.
From 2 to 5. I mean, you get a lot of whys. Like,
yeah.
All right, I'm gonna tell you, and it's exhausting. I'm gonna tell you, but even you get a couple. I already told you this. You just don't remember. So I'm gonna tell you again.
Right.
Tell you again. But it's like that's the exhausting time that I would tell a new parent. Like, hey man, answer those whys though, and ask. You know, you and your wife agree to hold each other accountable to answer the whys. So if I say it, my wife's gonna be like, Josh. Okay, this is why, right? Do that. It's they're like sponges at that age, and they just consume everything. So, like, do it. Answer a question.
I think also in the same way that college attempts to teach people how to think and not necessarily what to think, other than like math and stuff like that, the attempt to, you know, create a laundry list of what not to do is impossible to pass on to your kids. To teach them a structure in which they can interpret life and make a positive decision from that is my goal.
Yeah.
My goal is to not say like, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. It's more so, and it comes out of that why. Well, don't do that. Why? Not because I said so. That doesn't help anybody. Yeah. But because if you do X, Y, Z, that leads to this, and that can go, oh, I'm thinking long term now. I'm a kid.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's something that we found real value in as well. So I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's something that I just kind of passively came. A lot of things just come and you're just happy about that, you know? And I think there's a big cultural shift. A lot of the dads I talked to said, My parents just said because I said so. I'm the authority. Get in the car. It doesn't matter. You don't have to know why.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and they, much like yourself, have taken it on themselves to say like, well, we need to go because if we're late, we're going to hit traffic and that draws us back. And then we're going to be 45 minutes late to see grandma. And we only get 2 hours with grandma because she's got to go home, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes the kid's like, okay, fine, whatever. I don't care. Like, okay, I'll get in the car. That's fine too. But you know that you have the option and the opportunity to ask why.
Yeah. And you knock out, if you tell the why, it's in that same scenario, right? You knock out, you're defining that time is important and traffic is a big roadblock. So that might, yes, that might happen to, hey, why? Well, because time is important and traffic is a big roadblock. As an adult, they're like, they know that time is important and traffic is a big roadblock. So they're not late to work every day because they leave and they consider traffic being a thing. Like you taught them, you probably knocked out like 50 different what not to do just by teaching them that time is important and traffic is a big barrier. So it's a,
that's so true. Yeah,
that's a good call.
I love that. I want to get into a little bit as much as you want to talk about in terms of raising a black son, raising a black daughter in our society. My son, who's 2, is black. We have sought out so much guidance and help in acknowledging, look, his life's going to look very different than mine. He's adopted. That's different. Mm-hmm. He's black. That's different. He's so much cooler than me at 2 than I am at 41. And so that's different. I have to just acknowledge that he's already, his street cred is way above mine. And so, you know, I'm always curious in asking dads just in terms of, you know, how do you go about approaching, whether it's age appropriate or from day one or whatever, speaking about being treated in a certain way, in a certain place? How do you respect it? How do you expect it? That's a whole different bucket of bricks that you're carrying as a black man in the society raising kids. And I know this from conversations that I've had with other black men and men of minorities, Asian men, Hispanic men, et cetera. So I just kind of wanted to kind of create a platform opportunity to get your perspective on that.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we've done, and I'll give my wife credit to this. She's super like, man, she's teaching the kids all about just blackness, man. She is like totally down. And I think the thing that we've done that I can, again, give her credit to is teaching them that, I mean, they know they're black, but what does that mean?
Yeah.
Right. And so what does it come with? And I think one of the things is, you know, the kids that, you know, we've moved around a bunch and they've always gone to predominantly like just majority white schools, right? They're like always the only black kid in the class most of the time.
Yeah.
And so out of the gate, they are different and they feel different all the time. Right. And, what does that mean? And it's like, hey, you know, you're a black kid. We the kids that you're around, they might not even be trying to be mean. They're just unconscious. Yeah. Some kids are just unconsciously mean sometimes. It's like
in general, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like what it is. There's fat Kathy. Yeah, you can't say don't say that. It's awful.
Exactly,
you know? Yeah,
exactly. And so like to explain to them like, hey, you're different, but it's not less than, it's just different.
Mm.
Like your skin is different. Your hair is different. And just don't let that be a bad thing. As much as anyone will say anything like about it, don't let it be a bad thing. Because this is, you know, being black is powerful and you should love it. So just making them proud of that, I think is the biggest thing. So my kids are proud black kids. They'll let you know it. But I think that's, you know, I think it's important. They get it from their mom for sure. I'm proud.
Yeah.
But she's like, I mean, when we were reading books, like this is at 3 years old, she's a teacher. So she's super, you know, I'm big on education. She executes it. And she, like, we're clearly reading books at night. And they used to read a book every night. It was always like, don't touch my hair. Or I'm like, dang, you got like a lot of, I mean, they were always black books, like black kids on the cover. I was like, all right. Look. So that they grew up on that, man.
Representation's important.
It is though. It is. As I get like in Amazon and we have this conversation, like I'm the first black director in my global specialty fulfillment unit, my business unit.
Congratulations.
And it was, it's coming up now more than ever where it's like people are wanting to come in like, hey, can I join your org? And I see that there's a black person. I'm like, gosh, this is, and this, as I reflect back, I remember when I started my career, even at Caterpillar, one of my old mentors.
Oh yeah.
He was the first, or and maybe not the first, he was a black GM there. And I was like, huh, I want to go work at that site. Like, I think it's like, I don't know. It's something about being about representation that attracts, or at least creates a, I can do this. This is cool. So yeah, 100% on your comment, representation matters. So for your black son who's growing up in likely a white family, right? Like, teach yep. them about, you know, representation. Get them some black books. Like, hey man, yeah. you're different. It's a he. That was your son.
Yeah.
So he's gonna grow up and like, it's gonna be a normal thing to be the only black guy. And so
yeah,
just even in a house. And I think, you know, just showing them that, hey, you're black. You are different than us, but you're still part of the family, and you're not less than. It's going to be huge.
Makes a big difference. And I relate it. Sometimes people will ask me, like, you know, especially like sometimes there's pushback about like, well, like, no, you could live anywhere. And the truth is no, because at, like, my own self, when I was like, I'm going to go to LA and be an actor. My mom was a speech pathologist. My dad was an engineer. I didn't know anybody who was an actor. I didn't know anyone who lived in LA. But I did some research and I found there was a guy from Knoxville who had been on some TV shows. Knoxville, Tennessee is where I grew yep. up. And I was like, so it can happen. It. You know, like that representation, I never met the guy. Yep. They weren't big shows. It was just like, at least it's possible. And that literally, that small little crack in the giant door allowed me to say, I'm going for it. And yep. I moved to LA. And so I have realized on a firsthand basis, the power of representation. And, you know, you as well, like if you're the head of a group, someone's going to come in and be like, oh, I want to be a part of that. Yeah. This is possible. You yep. know, I think that's so cool.
Yeah. Hey man, you wrapped it up. I can't even add anything to that. That representation was perfect. That was perfect, man.
I was memorizing it.
I don't even want to mess it up, man. That was a great story right there. That's just it.
Yeah.
The Knoxville.
Well, take it. Yeah, take it with you if you want. Feel free to use it. I know you're a busy man. I usually end the show with like some dad advice, but you've just been sprinkling it throughout. So I don't know if there's anything else you want to say, but like, everything's been gold. So I defer to you if there's anything else you want to say. Otherwise, we'll just kind of wrap
it
up.
Nah, that's it for me, man. I gave you everything I had. Be present, fathers. love them. That's it.
Great. And wash dads. Get some wash yeah, dad
go,
swag,
go get
everybody.
Some, go get some wash dads. Wash dad, www.washdads.com. On Instagram is @washdads. Check us out.
Yeah.
Buy up, man. One of the things that we it's love about stuff. This is, when I wear anything that's Wash Dads and I see,
yeah.
you know, you walking down the street, you're like, oh, I like that, man. What's that? Where'd you get that? Oh, it's We Are Superheroes Every Day. Oh, I love that. Yeah, it's
even
it's
greater.
Making dad life cool, making everything dad cool. And they're like, and so they get it. Yeah. And then they go have the conversation. And then it's about the conversation. It's dads.
Yeah.
Let's have this conversation about being in the kid's life and make it a cool thing to be a Wash Dad. So
I love it, man. Well, Josh Thomas, thank you for attempting fatherhood.
All right. Hey, you have a good one. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to Attempting Fatherhood. My whole hope with this is that we build a community that encourages dads and that brings new information to the table and gets you excited about living your life, doing what you're doing. If you have felt that way, please make sure you rate us on Spotify, on Apple. Just rate us. Give us some stars, hopefully 5. And make sure you share this. That's equally important. It's a great way to build community, to share this information with other dads. You know, start a text chain, whatever. That helps us. That helps you. We grow this community and all that. Thanks again for listening. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Attempting Fatherhood. Again, thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them.
Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.